You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
That is a true fact about the podcast you are listening to right now.
Hopefully.
I mean, yeah, it is.
I mean, hopefully they're listening to it.
I mean, they are. If they're hearing these words, they're listening to it.
But are they, like, listening to it?
Are you paying attention?
Listen up! Here's the theme song. Today we're going to be talking about the first serial of the 18th season, the final season of Tom Baker, The Leisure Hive, which consists of four episodes that aired from August 30th, 1980 to September 20th, 1980.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check out his website at matthewgolden.net.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I asked him what I should promote, and that's what he said.
So fancy.
MatthewGolden.net. So, what's up?
You gonna put your notes over there? Because I kind of look, I cheat off of your notes.
I'm not ready to jump into the notes yet.
Oh, all right. So. What, you want to faff around for about 20 minutes?
I mean, yeah, a little bit. I feel like we should give updates about our lives, because stuff has happened.
We don't have to.
I gave an update on Burn Notice, but not in... on Rassilon.
I don't know if anyone cares about our lives.
My dad had a heart attack.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Care about that, fuckers. Or you're not good podcast fans.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
People,
still love you.
Listen. Yeah? People got a lot going on without you putting stuff on them.
My dad's not dead. I should clarify. He had a heart attack. It was a minor heart attack. And then he had some stuff done to him at the ER. He had a stent put in, and it stopped him from having a major heart attack. So Dad went to the hospital, and then, exactly a week later...
It was.
My mom went to the hospital for heart stuff.
She's also okay.
Yeah, they're both doing better now. Hers wasn't a heart attack. It was, like, a pulse thing. That's been our lives for a couple weeks, is just constant going.
Yeah, I've also been out of town shooting season 2 of The Unseen World. So, just between those two things.
We're very tired.
It's been pretty nonstop.
And on top of that, we've been recording another podcast.
Which is foolishness.
That is Burn Noticed. Burn, comma, Noticed. Comma?
No, there's just the one comma.
Burn, comma, Noticed.
Burn, comma, Noticed.
Which is a podcast about Burn, comma, Noticed. How do you think that's been going? You guys listen to it? What do you think? Just asking the audience.
Just waiting for them to respond. This is bad. We're recording on the sofa for the first time, and
Yeah, you can't be that far back.
I want to lean back.
You gotta be closer to the mic.
Okay.
Like, I'm sitting. Look how I'm sitting.
Yeah, I know.
I'm fine.
But, like, I sit up to the mic, and then the longer we talk, the more I start to just kind of... I'm back.
Why don't you just put so many pillows behind you?
Yeah.
To stop that.
Here, give me the other throw pillow. Yeah.
All right, Tony's got five pillows behind her. Is that comf?
Not at all, but it is keeping me from leaning back, so...
Cool. I guess we need to talk about Doctor Who.
We do. That is why the people are here.
Before we talk about the specificities of the episodes, this serial was the beginning of a new showrunner, Jonathan Nathan Turner. And I feel like this is the first time.
It's that, nice.
Well, I was going to say the show feels different.
The show feels directed, specifically.
I don't feel like there's ever been such a dramatic change since maybe we went to color. Even then, the show still kind of felt similar-ish.
Well, also, we've been in the Fourth Doctor era for such a long time, And I feel like it's kind of just fallen into a rhythm, mm-hmm. which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just like the moment something different happens, you're like, oh, right, this is Doctor Who and it can do new things constantly. That's kind of its whole deal.
Yeah, but I mean, even like the big drastic changes in tone even have happened like gradually.
Yeah.
And like this just feels like full stop different.
This is the first time where it's like, oh, we're in a completely different era. We're watching a different show right now.
Like, even, like, 3 to 4, like, there's a couple of 4 episodes that felt like 3 episodes, because he still had, like, UNIT hanging on. It clearly felt like it was still stuff that was...
written for 3.
That was converted to 4. So, but this feels just drastically different. And we'll talk about some of the changes as we go through it. But one of the big changes, this was a script written for the Graham Williams era, which is last season, that basically they just took all the jokes out of it.
Which is a weird choice. It was weird because on the one hand we were like, oh man, we're clearly watching like something different and it's really refreshing. I don't remember who it was who was saying when we were streaming it, who's told us that like, part of the reason why it's different is because they cut all the jokes. And I was like, that's never a choice that I would make in Doctor Who.
I don't think it was a great choice.
Yeah, the pacing and stuff feels weird now.
Here's the thing. This serial looks great. And we'll talk more about it later, but it looks...
Let's talk about it now.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. I have never had a harder time following a serial.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I said about the serial is that it feels directed in a way that Doctor Who hasn't. And what I'm having a hard time pinpointing what I mean about that. Except that shots feel more intentional.
Yes.
It's not just like, we set up a camera, we got all the coverage
we need. It's less theatrical, more film.
Yes. Things felt a lot more intentional, a lot more, like, making interesting choices specifically with the camera and not just, like, setting it and...
having the characters act in front of it. Like a sitcom, you have, like, that fourth wall sort of set up.
Yeah.
Where the camera's the fourth wall. This feels like the camera's moving around all over the place. Apparently this episode went way over budget for some of those reasons because there was a lot of...
Yeah, who was it who said when we were watching it streaming, who said that, like, this serial and the next serial have, like, new directors who got fired for trying too hard?
I believe that was Ben, or Scrub Monkey.
That they were like, let's actually move the camera, and everyone went, oh, no, 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 no. If you move the camera, it's more expensive. Don't do that.
But, yeah, I feel like visually is great. Well, in some instances, it's visually great. In some instances, it's visually a fucking mess. The script is weird. It's hard to follow.
The script, there's a lot of ideas. And it's not necessarily that there are bad ideas. It's just that there are many of them. And mm-hmm. so, like, you know, you'll drop a thread and generally come back to it. But, like, by the time you come back to it, you're like, okay, wait, what? What was the deal with that?
And a lot of the dialogue is so dry because all of the jokes
jokes are cut out.
That it's... sometimes it's just like a big glob of
information
thrown at you and you're just like,
like, jokes help you give you something to hold on to, like, yeah. as opposed to just being like expositioned at.
But yeah, do you want to start diving into the actual serial,
the, like, just recounting the plot?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I gotta look up. I gotta cheat off of your notes.
All right, let's dive into the Leisure Hive.
There was something else about this episode that was completely brand new, which is the theme song. Oh, the opening.
Yeah, yeah.
Brand new opening, brand new theme song.
I like both.
Yeah, I do too. I really like this opening. I've always liked this opening insofar as I've, like, had to pull footage from episodes.
And it's the same, pretty much the same opening for 5, right?
Yeah.
Except different face.
It does seem very much like we're making the decision to be hard sci-fi.
And also 80s.
What did you say when we were watching it?
I think I said we have hit the 80s.
You said...
full tilt.
Full tilt, yeah. Like, when this thing hit the 80s, it really hit the 80s.
It's just like, it's a star field, and there's like, the music is now more electronic. Or not more electronic, but more like...
80s.
80s, like synthesizer.
Yeah.
Type music. I feel like a lot of people don't like it, or they do like it, but not as much
as other ones.
As the Delia Derbyshire version. Which is probably fair, but I still like all of them. The only thing I don't like about the opening, I like the logo, and I like Tom Baker's face. I don't like the font.
You are so mad about the font.
It looks goofy.
You are mad about it every single time.
It's not the font in the logo. The font when it says, like, episode 1, yeah. The Leisure Hive by David Fisher or whatever.
Why do you hate about it so much?
It's it looks like borderline Comic Sans.
It's very rounded.
Yeah. It looks like a cartoon. I don't know. I don't like it. It just looks very unprofessional. If someone, like, designed, like, a poster for me or something and it was in that font, I'd be like, fucking no.
Do it again.
But now let's dive into the episode proper. Episode one, which I have titled, This Beach Empty.
Oh. I don't hate that.
Eat.
I hate that.
Because we open on a 2+ minute.
It's so long. It's so long. It's just a long ass pan of an empty beach. Did you actually, was that the timestamp? Was it 2 minutes?
It's over 2 minutes. I don't remember exactly. Someone in the live stream said how long exactly it was, but it was long.
It was so long, and you're like, oh god, what happened on this beach? It's completely empty. Something terrible happened.
And it's just that it's kind of winter.
Yeah, that's it. It's winter. The doctor meant to go to the beach, but he went there at the wrong time.
So he's just determined to still just enjoy the beach.
So he's taking a nap.
Well, I want to say that it pans over empty chairs, and it pans over these things, and it takes forever to even show the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And then it shows the TARDIS, then it shows the doctor. And, like, this shot did get criticized a lot. Jonathan Nathan Turner, like, defended it, but his defense made no sense, which was that, you know, we have to reestablish this new doctor and his outfit and everything. I'm like, he's barely in it! That doesn't make any
sense! He's not in the shot at all!
And what I feel like it really is, and every episode begins with, like, a 2-minute recap. Every episode.
Time.
Yeah, we cut out all the jokes, we gotta pad this shit out.
Right.
So, I feel like they're like, just use this whole pan across the beach.
We're filling all the joke time with just this 2-minute shot of the beach. I like the doctor's new outfit. It's all red.
I have mixed feelings about it, but yes.
I miss the old scarf for sure.
Yeah. The new scarf doesn't look as cool.
Is the old scarf gone for good?
I think so. I don't know.
It's very sad. I mean, I guess
I like the burgundy outfit. You like it and I kind of like it too. Everybody else fucking hates it. The question mark?
Oh, yeah. Lapel? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is a hill I'm going to have to die on. I fucking love the question marks. I love them. I'm sorry. I love them. They're so goofy.
Tom Baker hated them.
I love the question marks in the same way that I love the little green guy from The Hitchhiker's Guide. It doesn't matter that Douglas Adams hated them. That was what was on the cover of the first Hitchhiker's book I ever read. He's cute. I'm sorry.
The scarf is, like, purple and red striped, though it's hard to tell, like,
yeah, it's like I just thought it was. I just thought it was completely red.
It's definitely striped, and you can tell in close-ups. In wide shots, it just looks the same color. Though, Jonathan Nathan Turner was adamant that there be question marks, and he apparently puts it in all the doctors from here on out. He hated the scarf, though, and he wanted to get rid of it, and Tom Baker had to fight for the scarf.
He was wrong about the scarf.
So he agreed to let him do the scarf if it was a different color.
What if he had agreed to let him do the scarf, but only if it was covered in question marks?
That could be kind of amazing.
Right? Are you picturing that object in your head? And doesn't it fill you with a kind of glee?
A little bit.
I had a doctor that I developed for a role-playing game that we did, and she had big red chunky question mark earrings, and like one day I want to see that be a real thing.
I mean, you can make them yourself.
I do want them. I've looked for them online, and I've seen things like it.
Do you want it to be like...
No, but when I say I want it to be a real thing, I don't mean I want the earrings to be a real thing. I mean, I want to see that on Doctor Who one day. I need it in my life.
What you should do is you should just buy them. Buy multiple copies. And anytime you go to a convention that a doctor is at, see if you can get them to wear them.
That's good. I like it.
I feel like, out of all of them, Peter Capaldi would rock it the best.
Honestly, yeah.
I bet he'd be down for that.
We should talk about, like, the plot of this episode.
No, you know what?
Here's the thing. There's so fucking much of it.
Let's talk a little bit more about outfits, actually.
All right.
Because the doctor's just sleeping in his beach chair, and then we cut to Romana and K-9. So let's talk about Romana's outfit.
Romana's rocking a cute little sailor thing. It's nice.
Yeah. She's got, like, the Donald Duck top.
Yeah.
And it's dark blue. Donald's is white, isn't it? But, I mean, it's the same sort of, like, design.
It's a sailor thing.
And she's got black and white striped pants. Does she have a hat? I don't remember if she has a hat. I don't think she has a hat.
But the minute that you said, does she have a hat, I pictured a hat, and I can't figure out if you conjured that image in my brain or not.
We'll never know. I don't think she has a hat.
She does not have a hat.
She does have a beach ball, though.
She has a beach ball. She's not happy about being in the beach in the cold. She tosses the beach ball into the water and tells K-9 to fetch. K-9 does. She's like, no, K-9! And K-9 just goes right into the water and promptly explodes before saying one line as old K-9.
Yeah, yeah, it's John Leeson's back. They got him back just to do a scene?
Just to do a scene before he explodes.
I don't know if that was supposed to be comedy, but I found it funny.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Also, I think it was just, I don't think Jonathan Nathan Turner liked K-9, so he's just trying to get rid of him.
He's not gone for good. He's not exploded for good, though, right?
He's dead.
No!
I don't know. I don't think he's gone forever.
He's not exploded.
I think he's going to be gone by the end of the season, but...
Yeah, I do think that.
She carries the exploded K-9 to the doctor and says, you were supposed to make him waterproof and you fucking didn't. everything you've done has just been the worst.
You were supposed to take us to the beach in the summer. We're the beach in winter. You're doing everything wrong.
He tried to get him there by bypassing the randomizer. I thought it was interesting that they brought
up
continuity.
The Black Guardian.
Yeah.
I didn't think we would ever really hear about that again. Because, the reason why the Doctor's going to random places is because they put the randomizer in to escape the Black Guardian. And I kind of just thought they would drop that.
Yeah, it hasn't. The randomizer, I don't think, has been mentioned since the end of the Key to Time, which was 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, but part of why they're bringing it up now is that the Doctor is sick of it. He wants to be able to choose where to go again.
Spoilers, but by the end of this serial, he's like, fuck the randomizer. We're gonna do things differently.
Which might be the only reason why it was brought back up, or the Black Guardian's gonna come back. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
So Romana's like, this beach sucks. This beach empty.
This beach empty.
Let's go to this place I heard about that's nearby-ish. Time, I don't know. They're on Earth. I don't know how nearby it is, but she's like, I want to go to this place called Argalus. It's got a leisure hive, and it was almost taken out by a war with a Famasi, but they turned it into a holiday resort.
Which is not important to the plot very much at all.
The holiday resort part? No.
The holiday resort aspect of it. This is what I mean when I said there's like a lot of ideas in this. They're like, yeah, what if there's this planet that is a holiday resort? But actually, that's not going to be... That aspect of it's not important to the story at all. Although, when we were watching it, it did make me wonder if this story inspired Midnight.
Also, I didn't catch all of that exposition when it was happening. And I think part of that is because I was distracted by the transition. They're, like, talking on the beach. And it pulls back. And it keeps pulling back further and further. And then there's a field of stars around them.
Oh yeah, we were in the intro.
Yeah, and it just kept pulling back until they like basically disappear, and then we see the planet that they're going to, Argalus, and then that like fades into like the next shot. But it was like, and there's like this like kick-ass music playing, which by the way, new music. I think they got rid of the old composer, and now they're like using
we're in
BBC
the 80s
Stereophonic Workshop, whatever. So it's like, it's very like electronic music, and I super dig it. I like it a lot. I think on top of like everything visually looking good, like it sounds great. I love the music. We see the Argalans, who look like the Grinch.
The Grinch. They all look like the Grinch. Specifically in the live-action movie.
Yeah, they all look like Jim Carrey.
They either look like the Grinch or Archibald from VeggieTales.
I don't get that reference.
Man, all the weird Christian media you consumed as a child, and not one of them was VeggieTales?
No, I have weirder, specific Christian media. I didn't go for the, like, mainstream Christian media. I was all about that Gaither's Pond, Bible Man, Guidepost Junction.
I don't even... You made some of those up.
Nope. All real.
I know, because you played me Gaither's Pond, and that shit was a mess.
It's terrifying. But they're sort of doing, like, a presentation for tourists. And but there's also a meeting going on between the leader, I guess. His name is Morix. Don't bother learning his name. He'll be dead soon.
I like that this is a leisure planet, but the conceit of it is mostly science-based. Mm-hmm. And also, like, look at the big war that happened here. Anyway, here's some science lectures.
Yeah, it's all about tachyons and stuff.
It's not set up like any, like, leisure place I've ever been to, is all I'm saying. Except for maybe the battlefield, to be fair.
That's probably
there
true.
Is a big park by our house that is only a park because the Civil War was fought there. So I guess it's comparable to that. You go, you have a picnic, you look at, like, monuments where people died.
It's not radiated, though. Like, people can't go out in it. They can only go to this one city because it's, like, encased.
Yes.
To protect you from the radiation. Hive. Yeah. There's a meeting going on with the leader, though, and he is talking to this guy with a mustache named Brock. There's actually a really cool special effect here where he is being projected onto, like, this, like, triangle thing in the center of the table. Like, it's like a, almost like a 3D holograph sort of deal. It's a pretty neat effect. But he's basically just saying, your leisure hut is not doing very well. Kind of sucks. No one's coming.
They're not making any money.
Not making any money. They're like, well, we just got new breakthroughs and tachyon stuff, and that's what we've been doing. He's like, yeah, but it's not really, no one gives a shit.
They're trying to get him to invest and be on the board. And he's saying, says, no, I won't, because this place is failing. So, bye.
Well, he doesn't say bye. He's in the middle of talking, and Pangle hangs up on him.
Oh, you're right, he does. Pangle's our brash young David.
Yeah, brash young Pangle.
Brash young Pangle.
Pangle is a great name.
Yeah, I love it.
He's the youngest of the Argolans, who are all the same age, except
Pangle. Which, weird. So there's this thing with them that they're like, they age real rapidly, like right before they're about to die. And it took me a while to process. They have these like things on their wrists.
I thought it was on their head.
Was it on their heads? Because it's only ever shown in a close-up.
Yeah, I don't know where the things are happening.
And it's never like explained. You're just like, oh, okay.
Like these little nuts fall off.
That's what it is. They're like these little, it's like a pine cone with berries around attached to it. And then the berries fall off and then they get old. But like, there's never like a, oh yeah, this is my weird agey pine cone meter. Like,
and I have no idea where it is on their body. Cause they just show that in
close-ups. They only show it in close-ups. It's like a weird dream I had when I was young. Like a berry will fall off of it and they'll be like, oh, I'm older now. It's just a weird concept that I don't know why is in there.
They also say they look so much older now. They don't really look that much older. They maybe have a couple more wrinkles, but it's hard to tell because they're in all that green makeup.
Because they're bright green. It was just it was a weird way to express the idea that they have some kind of, there's some kind of like visual component like that happens when they get older, but the way that it was executed was bizarre and confusing.
There's actually way too many close-ups in this. Like, this is the first hero that has had like a lot of close-ups, which is new and interesting, but also there's way too many close-ups.
It's not that there are too many close-ups so much as that there are too many close-ups with that aren't given any context.
Yes.
Where you're like, wait, well, I don't know what I'm looking at, and I don't know where it is in relationship to anything else. And the weird aging pine cone berry thing is just one example.
Then Brock shows up in person. We assume it's Brock. Spoilers, it's not. But he shows up in person to be like, I've
changed my mind.
Well, he has an offer for them from the Famasi, the people that, like,
the people they were at war with.
Who are, like, reptile people. Also, I'm going to say something here that I completely missed somehow.
Okay.
And it would explain a scene that happens later. Brock also has with him this other guy. I forget his name. This sort of like henchman type. Well, not henchman, but like his second command. Who does not talk. And that's why I forgot he was a character.
Because he never talks?
He never talks. He's just there. Like, he's just muscle is what he appears to be. And I didn't even think. I didn't think about him. And then there's a reveal about him later. And I didn't know what the fuck was happening.
Who the fuck is that?
Yeah. So I'm setting that guy up now so that when we get to that scene, you'll be like, oh, that's who that was about. Okay. But he says, yes, the Famasi want to buy them out. And they're very conflicted about this. Pangle is very upset and does not want to do this. But he is called away to perform a demonstration of zero gravity squash.
The commentary about zero gravity squash is very odd, too. Where it's just like, yes. That is it. They're playing a game.
In zero gravity.
I don't know. It's just like another one of those ideas that is crammed into this thing. It is the only like leisure activity at all that is shown in it.
And during his presentation, the TARDIS arrives. This is the first time this has ever happened. The camera is moving when the TARDIS arrives.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's like he's doing the speech and then like, the TARDIS appears in front of him, and, like, the camera's pulling back.
Huh.
It's the first time they've ever done that.
Nice. So,
definitely with, like, having, like, a moving element behind where the TARDIS appears. Pangle does another demonstration. He loses his head, quite literally, ops off his shoulders.
That's a pretty cool display where he's like...
He's inside. It's on a display.
It's on a display, and like his body parts are all coming apart and like floating there while he's giving a speech about tachyons. And
his head is talking, his arms are waving, but his body is like bouncing up and down, like getting down to like some unheard music.
Okie doke. I don't. This is one of the concepts that I didn't fully understand in it.
Me either.
It's a solid projection.
Sure.
It's a
tachyon image.
Yeah. It's
just tacked on there.
Oh. It's some flim-flammy science that I was like, I don't fully comprehend this, but I don't feel like I'll need to. So I didn't pay attention to it. I didn't pay attention to the leisure lecture.
Yeah, I didn't fully get it either, so. Right. I mean, I was like, I buy it. It makes your body parts go wibbly-wobbly. You can project whatever you want to, I guess. You can do whatever you want to with your body.
In the projection, because it's not real. But it is real.
I think
real.
It turns you into a projection, is the theory. Maybe.
Okay.
You know, I don't fucking know. This serial doesn't make a lot of sense. It's very convoluted and hard to follow. So, then there's a very confusing scene.
Okay.
That I did not understand.
You're getting very upset.
I did not understand while it was happening.
Okay.
I did not understand while I was making the GIFs for this episode.
Okay.
And I only barely understand it after having... queued up the GIFs for this serial. We go out through a window and we see shadows.
Are you talking about the scene where the reptiles get into the hive?
Yeah, the Famasi, yeah. It was very confusing. It's all really tight close-ups because they don't want to show how shitty looking the Famasi look. Which, let's be honest, they do. They don't look great when we finally see them.
They're okay. There's actually one good one and like the other one, or are there three different costumes or are there only two?
I think there's three.
I think there's one good one and the other two are kind of wonky.
Yeah, I believe the costumes were reused for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy TV show. Do you remember the scene where, like, Careless Talk costs lives?
Yeah.
And there's the two battling alien races?
Yeah.
One of them is wearing the outfit. So I think that is the Famasi costume. It could be a little off about that, but yeah. So yeah, they're breaking in. And that's what I eventually figured out. But, like, it's a tight close-up of their eye and a... close up of the wall, the slowest.
So slow.
Green line of making a circle on this wall.
You could also tell that something must have gone wrong because there is like a burn in. I mean, they've done this before, right? Where they do some kind of line of something and then it burns a hole in it and then that was like a laser. K9 does it all the time. It looks like something went wrong because it's like a green overlay line, but you can see underneath of it where there are actual burn marks.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah. And so I think maybe they had like a practical effect not cooperate with them or something.
And it cuts in between that like close-ups of one of their eyes, which looks gross. Actually, I'm not even sure if that's their eye now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's their eyes.
It looked like, I don't know, something wedged into a
crevice. Like an iguana's eyes, right?
Yeah. There's a big, like, egg-looking thing on the side of the wall. Like an egg sack-looking thing. And then we see a foot step out, and then, like, we see the hole in the wall. And then the tail slithers out. And then,
yeah.
Like,
all of these shots are too tight for you to really fully, like, comprehend what's happening. I mean, you piece it together, but you're not watching it going, ah, that's what's happening. I do think part of the reason why it's like that had to do with an effect that went wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. The big egg sack thing is the thing that confuses me. I think that's
I don't know what the fuck you're talking
there's
about.
There's, like, it's a big, like, circular glowing thing.
I mean, they cut a piece of hole in the wall, and they take the wall out, and they go in.
No, but there's, like, a big glowing thing attached to the wall that I think is cutting the hole. And it's just sitting there, like, glowing against the wall. I was very confused because I thought on the inside you could see, like, a deflated version of the egg, but it was just, perspective was really weird, and it was just, you saw the inside, like, you could see the egg on the outside of the wall, like, but the inside of it, so it was, like, a different color. It was completely, like, fucked with my head, and I could not figure it out. But yeah, I think what it is they attached this big thing to the wall, it cut a hole in, I think maybe they were inside of it, and then they crawled, it's still very confusing.
I mean, the only necessary information is they got onto the inside of the hive.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't entirely understand the motivations behind it either.
What do you mean?
I guess these
are the bad guys.
They're not.
They are.
They're not. Wrong.
Oh, it's the good guy?
It has to be.
Oh, yeah.
The bad guys are already inside.
I mean, he has to get in to get the bad guys. What's your
question? Why does he just hang just sit around for like 3 episodes?
Because they cut out all the jokes and they ruin the pacing.
So anyway, the leader Morix, his last berry falls off of his body somewhere and he dies.
His age cone.
And he slumps back in his chair and his face, like, goes staticky.
His face goes static. He dies. And neither his son nor his wife seem to be very sad about it.
He has a son and a wife?
Yeah.
Who?
Then the person he takes over, wasn't that his wife?
No.
Why did I think
in
that?
In fact, she's, like, romantically...
Yeah, I thought it was weird.
Oh, God. See, yeah, this serial is very confusing. I don't think
They're not related at all?
I don't think so.
Did I just make
that
up? She's
the next in line. Yeah, I think you made that up.
Here's why I think...
She's his successor. Pangles should be hurt.
I was going to say, didn't Pangle, like, refer to him as his father and her as his mother? And maybe that's why I thought that?
Maybe.
Because we find out later that Pangle's not really anybody's kid. He's a clone. Oh, spoilers. But I think that's why I thought that. Maybe. Pangle was like, this is my dad, this is my mom. And I was like, oh, they're married. But they're not.
Well, now he's got me questioning it. I don't know.
I gotta pull up the TARDIS wiki. I'm fucking confused.
Oh, God, we're never gonna get to the serial if we just stop to clarify everything. Because it's very confusing. We're still in episode 1, Tony.
I know.
We actually meet this woman who takes over. Her name's Mina. They introduce her. She's walking down a hallway, and we transition into this scene through a circle wipe, which I feel like that's the first time that has ever happened on this show.
He calls her his consort. What's a consort?
You're Googling consort now. Associate. So, no. They're not.
They're not together.
So, Mina takes over. Circle wipe. Meanwhile, back at the demonstration of the tachyon generator thing. Tachyon regenerative generator. No?
No.
What's it called?
Recreation.
Oh, because like there's a word in it.
Recreation. Recreation.
Oh, that was the thing. Okay. Dumb. So, they put in a tourist into the machine to test, now you have a go. It's this older guy. He tries out the tachyon, wants it, and
he fucking dies.
He gets torn the fuck apart. Like, his head comes off, his arms come off. But instead of just, like, doing a little dance, he's like...
He's screaming in agony.
And pain. He's dead. And the doctor, like, rushes in and takes over. And they mistake him for somebody else.
They mistake him for a scientist.
Who we actually meet in the next scene, whose name is Hardin? Is that who they mistake him for, is Hardin? And they bring him in and, like, Hardin's already here. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not him. I'm the doctor. Hardin is working on some science to make the Argolans de-age, basically.
Because they're all sterile because of the war.
Yeah. I don't think we find that out, like, right this minute, but yeah.
But that's what...
So much shit going on in this. Right. We're still in episode 1.
There's so much shit going on, I'm just gonna say things as I think of them, and you're just gonna have to let it happen.
Yeah, that's fair. So, yes, they're sterile, so they're working on ways to, like, save their race, basically, because they can't have new kids, so de-aging them, and He says he's successfully done it, and he shows her this footage of...
But he's a fucking liar.
Hardin shows Mina footage of de-aging this Argolan woman. But it's been faked. We don't know that yet, but we'll find out.
The doctor and Romana see this footage, and they know it immediately. They can tell because of the pixels.
They sort of sneak away before they get in trouble. The doctor bumps into someone and says, are you so-and-so? He's like, no, but there actually is 2 people running around that shouldn't be in this area. So keep an eye out and keep an ear out for their description. And then the doctor and Romana walk away and he's like, oh, thank you. And then you hear over like the speaker, the description of the doctor and Romana. And the guy's like, oh, wait, what? And the doctor and Romana run away and they go running through the zero gravity squash court, and they're just floating through there while she's like holding his scarf and they're just having a conversation. And at the end, the doctor just goes, why are they so competitive? So there are some jokes, not a lot,
not all of them,
but there's some, and those are the best bits. This next bit is a comedy bit too and doesn't make any sense. So they're sneaking around, they're trying to get back to the TARDIS. The doctor sees the tachyon thing and wants to fuck with that, though. So he takes his scarf off and puts it around this pink statue.
That was weird. I didn't understand that whole sequence.
Yeah, I think he switched places with the statue to distract Romana.
Okay.
So she like pulling him around the corner, and instead of it being the doctor, it's the statue. And she's like, oh, fuck, where's the doctor? Except That would never happen. It doesn't make any sense.
Except that's not how people interact with each other, like, at all. If she was just tugging on the doctor as hard as you would need to tug on the scarf to pull a big old statue, like, she'd be strangling him.
She realizes he's gotten into the machine, and she goes to try to get him out, and then we see the Famasi hand pop up and smash the button, and the machine turns on, and then the doctor's little image, his head rips off, and his arms rip off, and he screams, and his screaming mouth goes right at the camera and transitions into the credits.
That's the cliffhanger.
That is the end of episode one. The doctor is brutally murdered.
Oh boy.
It's only taken us 50 minutes to get here. We're now into episode two, which I have called The Pyramids of Science.
Okay.
Because we see some science later on, and they use little pyramids in it.
Sure.
The doctor is fine. He escaped through a hole in the back of the machine. There's a guy there who's like, there's no hole in the back of it. And he's like, there is now. And he holds up his sonic screwdriver.
Is it all bent up?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks like they're about to fall apart. I don't know if that was on purpose or if they just need to get a new prop. And the thing was only an illusion. And then he's just like demonstrating it and playing like more footage of just his face. I don't know.
His face is still there, but he's out of it.
I think it lasts for a little bit.
I don't understand the concept.
He's like doing some classic Tom Baker mugging though.
Yeah.
Like his head's like winking and laughing and... then Mina's like, well, I want to give you guys a brief tour of this place, show you where, how fucked up everything is. This is where all the radiation is. And it's a really nice shot, too. Like, the light keeps changing colors on them, and it's really well lit. But, basically, they had this war, they put up this thing to keep the atmosphere out, and they run this place as a way to make people, like, coexist with each other better.
Yeah, it's kind of like, hey... Look at how bad war fucked up this planet. Stay here, play zero gravity squash, and then maybe don't start wars.
Maybe be nice to each other, hang out with each other. That's cool.
That's basically the whole thing.
She's showing the doctor some other thing on the, like, here's some other shit we got going on. And then it fuzzes out because we see a Famasi hand rip out some wires. And she's like, this shit keeps happening. Someone's sabotaging this place. And then she passes out and an age berry falls off of her. What would you call it?
I called it an age cone.
Yeah, age berry falls off her age cone. And she gets older and is dying. And I think this is when we find out, you know, that they're sterile.
They're all dying and sterile. It's a bummer.
Yeah. So they're going to go check out Harden's experiments because she's like, he's working on a thing to rejuvenate us. And then we see Harden meets up with a guy named Stimson who talked Harden into faking the experiments.
Who's not in it for very long. This is another concept that like, okay, there was this other guy. He talked him into faking the experiments. Then he dies.
Basically,
like,
yeah.
That's the scene. And he does not come up again.
Well, he doesn't die right away, but...
I mean, he dies in the... I don't remember him beyond that context.
I mean, that's basically it, yeah.
So, like, I don't understand why he's there, except that they're like, well...
We need to kill somebody.
One, we need to kill somebody, and two, like, but this guy's a good guy. He lied, but he's a good guy. So there has to be somebody else who made him lie. But that character's not important, so we'll just kill him.
They're trying to lie to the doctor.
Harden, by the way, is, like, the person who is in a kind of a relationship with
Mina.
They're cute.
Yeah.
I like them.
I didn't realize they were in a relationship. Everybody else pointed it out to me before I realized it. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I had a hard time concentrating on this one. I couldn't pick up on anything.
Yeah, I mean, with so much going on, I could see how you would miss something that's, like, the least bit subtle.
And in this scene, they're kind of being shady, and Romana offers to help, and she's, like, asking questions, and then Harden basically just goes, it doesn't work. Like, he can't keep it up very long. He's supposed to be, like, lying and stuff, but he basically
immediately is like, you know I'm a fraud,
fucked.
Right?
Yeah. So let's talk about the death of Stimson. I just want to set this up. He wears glasses, which was the only way I was identifying him. But he's sneaking around. He opens a closet, and he sees a fake human rubber face mask.
Right, and I kept looking at it like,
who the fuck's that supposed to be?
Should I know who that is? Have I seen that character before? I don't see faces. But Joe was also like, no, I don't know who that is.
And now I do know. It's that guy that's with Brock, who I didn't even register as a character. This is the Famasi's human suit, basically. And I guess that might have tipped me off earlier that Brock was not real, but like, I couldn't tell who the fuck that was supposed to be. And he backs away, and then he's running from, he hears noises, he runs, his glasses fall off, And the Famasi steps on his glasses, and I was like, oh no, that's the only way I recognize him.
But it's fine, because then he dies.
Because, yeah, then he's murdered. Hardin and Romana, meanwhile, are working on the rejuvenation thing. They do a lot of science that goes on
so much
forever.
Science.
They're like basically trying to reverse time on this hourglass, and it's not really working, and then it does work. My thing is, they've done this before in City of Death.
I think it's that, like, specifically they're trying to work out this problem with the technology that they have available. So they did it in City of Death, but they did it with, like, different shit.
So?
Here's why I think it's fine. I don't remember, like, the plot of City of Death. I don't remember why they were doing it. But was it, like, Time Lord tech that they were doing it with?
No. It was the bad guy, Scaroth. He was trying to get back to the beginning of time. The problem was they were just de-aging people. It was actually, this is what they want, and he just wanted to go back in time.
Like, if you think about technology on, like, different planets, right? Think about it, like, they built this time machine out of Legos, but now they're on a planet that's made up of Kinects. And, like, now they understand the theory, like Romana does, because she's a Time Lord. And she's built it out of Legos before, so now she's just trying to work out how to build the same thing out of Kinects, out of, like, this completely different planet's technology.
Sure.
And she couldn't just bring Legos over there into a different planet, because that would, like, that would probably fuck shit up with, like, their ecosystem and their timeline.
Okay.
Then there would just be Legos and Kinects.
Sure. I don't care. Fine.
Oh, okay.
I'll buy it. So they do this science. They actually eventually get it to work. And then they're like, yay. And then they leave the room, like, immediately. They're like, we've reversed it. We got it.
And then
leave.
The thing explodes. And then it, like, glows green.
Yeah.
After it explodes.
So someone comes up to the doctor and is like, is this your scarf? And he's like, yes, thank you. And then he's like pulling it, and he's like following it, and he's like rolling it up. And at the end of it, he is wrapped around the neck of Stimson, the guy with glasses. And he's like, oh. And they arrest him. He's at, like, a trial, and they're, like, accusing him of murdering. Well, they say, the scarf murdered Stimson. And he's like, arrest the scarf!
What's bonkers about this serial is, like, this is not... It's not an important part of it! The doctor's arrested, like, he's on trial for murder, but so much other shit is going on that the people who are putting him on trial are kind of like, hang on, let him out for a minute, because we need his help to solve this other problem, and then he can go stand trial later. Like, literally, there's a point where Mina's like, okay, like, talking to the doctor to, like, get his help with, like, this tachyon problem, and Pangle's like, don't forget, he's on trial for murder! And it's like, at that moment, the writer probably should have thought, I need to calm down on introducing new concepts here.
I do like the arrest the scarf line, though.
Yeah, that is funny.
He also has another good joke where he's like, they're like trying to figure out what to do with him, because I don't think they have, like, prison cells or anything. And he's like,
wait, this is a spa, basically.
So he's like, there's this blue box over in this room. You can just imprison me in there. Because he's talking about the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Romana and Hardin interrupt this trial and say, we got the thing to work. And they're like, oh, cool, let's go make Mina young again. And then, like, they're like, actually, you know, we need to test it first.
So they test it on the doctor.
This will be suitable punishment, probably, if it fucks up.
But Romana goes, they left something in the lab. So she's like, I gotta go back to the lab and I'll grab it. And when she goes back to the lab, she sees the hourglass, which is all exploded and glowing and green.
She's like, oh shit, no. And she runs back and she's like, stop it. We can't have the doctor do it. And then he's like, oh, it's too late. We've already started it and we can't stop it. And she runs and she opens the door.
Should always have a kill switch.
It's true. And she pulls open the door. She gasps. And we see the doctor. And he old.
He's real old.
He looks like Tom Baker at the end of the last serial.
A little bit skinnier.
More facial hair,
nice
too.
Nice makeup, though.
He's got, like, a big old beard. He looks like a fucking wizard.
He does.
It is good makeup. He does look old. And that is the end of episode 2. Good old doctor.
Which we did in 10 minutes.
Oh, shit. Did we? Damn. We are now into episode 3, which I have called The Child of the Generator.
Nice.
The serial really likes that phrase, too. He says it, like, 3 times. So that everyone's looking at the doctor, and he's like, how long was I in there? Felt like centuries in there. Which makes me think of a really fucked up Stephen King short story.
It's forever in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never even read it. You've just told it to me, and I think about it all the time.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the title of it, but it's good. He turns around and the machine's kind of...
The machine's reflective and he sees how old he is. He spends a significant portion of this episode just being old and tired.
I mean, he's old in the next episode.
Yeah.
He's old this whole episode and a bit of the next. That's actually something I want to talk about. It works a little bit, but, like, Tom Baker is really low energy, like, this whole serial. I actually heard he was sick. But I also wonder if part of it is, like, he's annoyed.
Like, changes are happening.
And he doesn't super care for him. But he doesn't seem as hyper as he used to be. And I also wonder if part of it is because I know Tom Baker was a bit of a...
You can say kind of a dick.
Yeah, I was going to say a diva even. Like, I don't know, he was like very taking over the show.
Yeah.
And I wonder if part of this this season is trying to knock him down a few pegs. And he's a little sulky about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't know. This episode, they're like...
You spend a whole episode being old.
But he does a decent job being an old guy.
Sure.
Yeah, that's when they're like, we don't have time for you to do any other plot. You're supposed to be arrested. So they put collars... And I don't know, they arrest him, and they have arrested Romana, even though she didn't do anything. I guess just because she's just associated with the doctor.
Yeah, they're together.
So they put these collars on them, that if you go outside of some area, they'll kill you. Which, that's another concept that's just thrown in, and then quickly abandoned, like, two scenes later.
Right.
Harden comes in later and just takes it off of them. It just gets them out of the plot for a little while. We have a scene with Harden and Mina... Well, this is the scene that, like, sort of more develops them as a couple, I feel like, and they're just having a chat. And the shot starts from outside the building, and the window is, like, tinted red, because, like, the atmosphere is red, and then it goes through the window, and the scene clears up. And I was like, that's a really cool effect. I've never seen them do anything like that on this show. They're doing a lot of
visually they're trying some new stuff. This serial. It was fun to watch, even if I didn't fully comprehend the plot of what I was seeing.
And then he's basically just reassuring her that he'll get the machine working, and then she talks about this helmet that's been hanging from the ceiling this whole time, and about how it was like a war helmet from the war that, like, tore up their planet, and, like, they keep it hanging there as, like, a way to keep them humble.
As a reminder. That war will fuck your shit up.
And also for the bad guy to later take and be like, let's war again! Pangle comes in and ruins some stuff. Because Harden's like, I'm gonna go back to work on it. And then he comes in and tells Mina that the experiments were faked. And he has proof of it. And she's like, what? And Harden's like, okay, yes, but I needed more funding. So, but I'm like really close. I just need Romana to help me fix this thing. And then she's like, you fucking lied to me. No, you don't get Romana... Fuck you. And you're not going to be working on it anymore. Meanwhile, the doctor and Romana are just sitting in their room. And the doctor's like, tired of being old.
And then too.
They sort of start putting stuff together. Like that Pangle's younger than everyone else. He also says there was a second circuit in the machine. And they're wondering what that was about.
By the way, you remember like Brock?
Oh yeah, Brock's occasionally here.
He's been around this whole time.
Yeah, and then Brock basically just comes in and says, everyone left the resort because this place sucks, so you should just sell it.
There have been multiple murders here. People are leaving.
And him and Pangle butt heads a little bit. Like, almost literally. There's a really nice shot where, like, Mina's way in the background, and, like, Brock's face is, like, way up close to the camera, and he turns to the side, and then just Pangle, like, leans in, and they're, like, facing off against each other.
They're both in profile. It's, yeah, that was a good chat.
Yeah, then Harden gets the collars off of the doctor and Romana. The doctor says he thinks that he knows what the recreation generator's real purpose is.
Recreation!
And so they're going to go try the machine out again, but on Romana, because Harden couldn't handle it because he'd just die. The doctor's already really old, so Romana's the only viable option to test it out on. My next note just says, Brock says sale, because he wants him to sell it. Mina says, why don't we all just do a mass suicide? That's her option. She's like, well, let's just all walk out into this fucked up atmosphere and die. That would be the honorable way to go. Pangle says, fuck both of y'all. I'm gonna start a new army.
I'm gonna start a war. Because I'm a clone. I'm gonna make lots more clones. We're gonna fight everybody with our neat, neat helmets, which did get flagged on Tumblr for being too phallic.
True. He says he is the first child of the generator.
Which he just starts...
Apparently they've done...
Villain monologuing at this point.
Apparently they had done cloning tests in the past, and he was the only one that worked.
They wanted... Because they made a lot of, like, mutant babies, I guess. And they wanted to make sure that he would, like, be viable, that he would come of age and not be messed up.
Yeah, they were just making sure he was cool. And he's
Which
not.
They
he's
say that. They say, like, we had to wait for him to come of age, right? Implying that he was cloned as a baby. But then later he clones himself.
Well, this is a different cloning technique.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I presume. Here's another joke that they left in that doesn't entirely make sense. So the doctor and Harden are going to cause a distraction so that Romana can go futz with the machine. And the doctor writes out equations on the TARDIS, just like drawing it on. He also, someone in the stream pointed this out, and I saw it when I was making GIFs. He also writes, beware of the dog on the TARDIS, which is pretty funny. But he writes all this equation stuff out. Harden, like, beckons the guard to come over and check it out. The guard reads the equation and then passes out. And the doctor's like, he couldn't handle the warp mechanics nonsense bullshit.
The math was just too good. The math was just too good.
It overwhelmed his brain and he passed out. So Romana sneaks away to the machine and she's opened up the back of it. She doesn't notice behind her. A Famasi rises. And you're like, oh no.
You're like, oh no, it's a cliffhanger.
And then, that's not a cliffhanger. Pangle thinks the doctor's inside the machine, not Romana. Nobody's actually in the machine. And he turns it up, like, let's see how you can handle aging 1,000 years. Ha ha ha, I'm evil. But then Romana goes back into this room to meet up with the doctor, and she has the Famasi with her. And she's like, don't worry.
This guy's my friend.
Yeah, he saved me. He stopped me from getting into the thing because it was going to fuck me up. And he's like, he also helped me get this thing. And she holds up this box and takes it to the doctor. And he's like, of course. I don't remember what the fuck it is.
Some science thing.
Also, there's a great bit where he's like talking to the Famasi. And it's just like chirping at him. And he like sort of understands it, but not fully. Mina has gotten way worse now, and she's just falling down dead, and Pangle just does not give a shit.
All her age berries. Oops, all age berries.
But Pangle is like, once you're dead, I get to take over, so I don't give a shit. Then
there's actually this scene where he's like monologuing about how happy he is that she's going to die because he's going to be in charge next. While she's like in the background just dying.
Yeah, he's a...
She's like lying on the floor actively dying, and he's talking to someone else about how great it's going to be when she's dead.
And Brock's in there too. While he's having this monologue, Brock and the guy that I forgot was a character, which helps explain a scene that's coming up. But the doctor comes in with the Famasi. Oh, yeah, because the Famasi saw Brock. They were, like, watching security footage, and the Famasi saw Brock on it.
Yeah, and the doctor was like, okay, we gotta go find this Brock guy. Because Brock and the character that Joe doesn't know about are both Famasi.
Yeah, because that's the cliffhanger, is like, the Famasi grabs Brock and is wrestling with him and rips his face off. And he's also a Famasi. That is the cliffhanger. That is the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, which I've called My Four Clones.
Okay.
Which is a reference to my short film, My Two Clones. But also, the reason it's four clones is because you think they're clones of somebody, but it turns out to be a clone of four.
All right.
So, there we go. Then another, like, really badly shot and confusing segment happens. What the gist of this scene is, the Famasi rips the face off of Brock, rips the face off of the other guy, and reveals them both as Famasi. That's what this scene is. I don't know why it's told in 40 fucking shots. All very, very tight close-ups.
I mean, because they couldn't actually put a mask over the...
I mean, they do, and it's really bad and obvious. They got that fake foam rubber mask, and they pulled it off. And it's just, like, close-ups of eyes, close-ups of like, one was just a close-up of an insignia on their shirt. And there's, like, a close-up of the doctor's face, and he's like, huh? Huh? And they're all, like, looking around the
room. Is this the one where every single person gets a reaction shot? Is that this scene? Every single character in this scene gets their own reaction close-up. Every single one.
This scene lasts for, like, a good solid minute.
This was what we get in place of jokes.
Wasn't very good. And then he's like, hey, look, Famasis. And then he takes this beak thing off of Brock, the Brock Famasi, puts it on himself, and now he talks like Brock. And he's like, I've got his voice box now. These are bad Famasi, I'm a good Famasi. They've been sabotaging your place. I came here to stop them.
Specifically because they wanted to buy it. Oh my gosh. This episode and the episode of Burn Notice we watched have the same plot.
Kinda.
Okay, continue.
He says Brock was with the West Lodge, which was a subset of the Famasi, but they're the bad Famasi, West Lodge. We haven't even said Famasi is an anagram of mafioso. This is supposed to be, like, metaphor for, like, the mafia.
It is?
Like, the mafia are, like, fucking up your business and trying to buy you out, I guess. It's very convoluted and dumb.
It's too much.
That's what it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be the mafia. The Famasi is supposed to be the mafia.
And what? And then there's like the good branch of the mafia and the bad branch of the mafia? I don't
fucking know. Oh, but then there's a really cool effect where he, like, the good Famasi has, like, the, I don't know, this little hand grenade, and he chucks it at the other two Famasi, and they glow for a minute, and then they're, like, cocooned. And he's like, don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. And we're going to head out now.
And then the plot's wrapped up and it's over, right?
No. We've talked about the pace being bad, but up until this moment, it's been okay-ish, but it gets really bad here.
Right here.
Yeah.
This is probably about the moment where it's all about to fall apart.
Because things, like, slow down and then pick up and then and it's weird. And, like, it doesn't keep its momentum. Pangle is basically like, I don't want you to leave. I don't trust you. You're not going to leave. And they're like, oh, well, we're leaving. And, like, he's, like, rushing around and it, but, like, they're just, like, casually walking away. Like, I don't know. They go to get the box, whatever it was, but Pangle got it before they could get to it. And he puts it back in the generator and it's gonna do something.
It's the thing that lets him clone himself.
Yeah. And they're like, how do we fix that? And the doctor's like, well, we could use the randomizer. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to do that.
It's too dangerous because they need the randomizer to hide them from the Black Guardian.
And so Romana and Hardin are trying to figure out a workaround while the doctor's like, well, fuck this. And just, like, leaves while they're not looking. Pangle takes the helmet from the ceiling and
can we talk about the helmet for a little bit, though?
Yeah.
Because the helmet is, like, perfectly
shaped. Their head.
They have these big... We talk about how they look like the Grinch. I didn't talk about... I mean, I love the costuming in this. They've got these yellowish-green robes that are great, but they have these pointy-up hairdos. And so that's why the helmet is so phallic-looking, because it's got to accommodate these big pointy-up hairdos, right? The whole time, Pangle is walking around. He takes this helmet, and he's ranting about how he's going to be, like, the new warlord or whatever. And he's walking around with the helmet, and the whole time you're like, put it on. Put it on. Put the helmet on, Pangle. I want to see this helmet go over your pointy hair.
He does put it on, but off screen.
And it's very sad. I wonder if maybe it didn't quite fit as well as it looked like it might.
I mean, I'm sure it did fit. I just imagine it was hard to put on.
That has to be a lot happening with, like, your hair all pointed up and then putting, like, a big helmet on over that. There's a lot going on there.
And it's not just, like, right on top of the head. It's, like, in the back, too. Yeah. It's like a man bun extended.
I just wanted to see that helmet go on top of his head really bad.
And we were denied.
We did not get to see it.
So the doctor is, like, sneaking around in plain sight as Pangle is, like, amassing an army. Not clone army. Not yet. But is it just amassing, like, people? He hides behind that pink statue that clearly Tom Baker just loved. That's the only reason I can think of that he kept using this pink statue. He, like, shushes it. He's like, shh, I'm being sneaky. And then he moves the statue around while hiding behind it to get to the TARDIS so he can get the randomizer. Hardin's helping Romana and then catches security footage of Mina being passed out. And he's like, oh, fuck, no, I gotta go help her. Bye. And she's like, no, we gotta figure this out. And he's like, no, I'm in love. And leaves her to go save Mina. And then Romana sees the doctor heading towards the generator. And she's like, why is everybody so fucking stupid?
We had a plan. No one's following it.
The doctor gets inside the generator and is tinkering with it. Romana runs and tries to stop Pangle from using the machine. And he's gonna do it anyway. And he also's like, also, fucking... blow up the Famasi shuttle because, like, one of the guys comes up and, like, the Famasi are leaving in their shuttle. And he's like, blow it up. So they blow it up, which we haven't even talked about. They show this shuttle 3 times. There is never a shot where you see the exterior of the shuttle. It's all, like, a point of view of the shuttle docking onto a thing. And every time they showed it, I was just like,
What
fuck is this? What am I looking at? Is this supposed to be something docking with it? And then we hear over it, like, docking protocols initiated. And we're like, oh, okay.
It's a shuttle.
Could have said that at the top of the shot where I had no idea what the fuck it was I was looking at.
as excited as we were for, like, new visuals and, like, just doing something different, this serial lacks visual context so often. Use a wide every now and again.
If you're going to do something weird, don't just do something weird for the sake of being weird. At least make it make sense. It still has to tell the story. So then, yes, Pangle makes a bunch of duplicates of himself, and they're all wearing that helmet so you can't see their face. And he just makes a bunch of them. They come pouring out. They take Romana away. And then she's like, let me go. And then they do. And then he lifts up his helmet.
And it's the doctor. They're all the doctor.
And he's young again. And he's like.
This part's very confusing.
He's like, hey, Romana. And then disappears. She just like, oh, what, what? And then like there's two of them that are talking and saying, like, explaining what's happening. That he tinkered with the machine. He was in the machine. It was making duplicates of himself. But they're not going to last very long because they're all just the tachyon images. They just keep blooping out of existence as they're explaining things. And Romana just has the greatest, like, I'm very confused face also say. And you don't know which one's the actual doctor. One of them doesn't explode. He's like, I was the first one in, and I was the first one out, so it must have been a FIFO situation. First in, first out. And also, like, it rejuvenated him as well. So it's a rejuvenation chamber as well. So made him young, made duplicates.
And then the serial is over.
Almost.
Because everything's wrapped up.
He changes back into his great outfit. She holds up his helmet and he pulls his scarf out of it and just keeps pulling it and pulling it and pulling it. And they're like, we're done, right? Oh no, wait, we gotta go save Mina.
Mina's still dying.
So Harden has actually taken Mina to the generator and is like, we need to make her young again. And Pangle's like, no, don't. Like, it's not set up for that. It's supposed to be making clones of me, and he's trying to get in it. And they both wind up in it at the same time. The doctor chucks his helmet at it and it explodes because it apparently was still set up to do cloning too, I guess. I don't know. But like him doing that stopped it from doing the cloning.
Sure.
And then
Mina comes out younger holding a baby. He's a baby. He looks exactly like the baby Grinch.
He does.
It's pretty much the same. I think that's where the makeup comes from.
And Mina's like, I'm gonna have to try to raise him better this time around. Keep a closer eye on him.
Do you think he has all of his, like, adult memories though? But he just can't not shit his pants?
Because, like, I think baby brains are probably different, right? So probably just, like, memories go away because your brain scrunches down.
That's just science.
Yeah. It hasn't developed enough to retain those memories.
Right.
And then the Famasi shows up and is like, only the bad Famasi were in the ship. I wasn't ready to go yet. So they blew up.
Okay, thanks.
You want to talk some peace? Like, and Mina's like, yeah, let's talk some peace negotiations. And they walk off hand in hand. And then their doctor's like, let's leave. And Romana's like, should we get the randomizer? And he's like, no, I don't give a shit. And she's like, what about the Black Guardian? And he's like, fuck the Black Guardian. I think he says, like, cosmic hobo with illusions of grandeur or something.
Which is hilarious.
I think he says, I know a few people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they leave.
Okay. We gotta take a break for my own sanity, please.
Yeah, that is the end of the Leisure Hive. We're gonna take a quick break and we'll be back for final thoughts.
Where comedy and commentary collide.
Thunder Talk brings a unique variety show style twist
to the fandom podcast genre.
We drop music from some of today's hottest up and coming artists.
We discuss topics of social and political relevance
and deliver our sideways take on the world at large.
If stand-up comedy,
NPR,
the Millennium Falcon,
and classic MTV had a baby,
it would be Thunder Talk.
Thunder Talk is part of the ESO Network. Find us at thundertalk.org and on all podcasting platforms.
And we're back!
Oh, God.
Tony.
Yes.
You know what time it is?
Yeah, it is 8:56.
Ben Patton's got to go to an anime convention or something. We don't have time for this.
Not today. Today it's just me, you, and my commitment to a bit.
What do we do at this time in the podcast?
This bit that we're in now.
What happens?
How long it goes on is really set by just my own whims, I think. How I'm feeling that day. Today, I'm feeling a little hungry. I could go for a snack. Is it snack time? Is that what time it is in the podcast?
Now, how do we end this bit?
Usually.
Uh-huh. Trying so hard to think of a joke.
I am, and I'm not funny, which is why I just do the same fucking bit every time. because I'm not funny.
Adapt or die, Tony.
God damn. I guess I just... It's time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
There's way too many ideas in this serial. Just too many. Just too many ideas. They're not bad. They're all interesting. Some of them are poorly executed. But there's frankly too many to keep up with. I really love the design. I mean, I think I've said that so many times of just really praising the costuming, and I wouldn't say the monster design, but the alien design is really great. The monster design, I think there's one, like, solid one, and you could tell that, like, maybe the rest, like, I think that happens a lot in Doctor Who, where you, like, make one good costume, and they're, you know, like, it takes all your time, and they're like, we need two more, and they're like, fuck.
It's not two more.
Okay. I had more that I wanted to say, and you fucking said your two more thing, and I have no idea what it is, because all there is my head is rage now. Another really good thing is the actual, like, active direction that is happening. Some of it I liked, some of it I didn't, but frankly, it was just nice to see something new for a change. I think it's pretty clear that we're in a different era of Doctor Who. We're definitely in the 80s, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see some new stuff.
Visually, I think it's a huge step up. I think it's great. I think sometimes it's maybe a bit excessive. Some of the visual ideas were interesting but didn't work. Especially the, like, very fast-paced editing of extremely tight close-ups where you're like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. It could have been more coherent. But it looked good. The music was so good. The designs were so good for the Argolis. The special effects were really good. I feel like they've stepped up with the special effects.
Definitely new stuff that they hadn't tried before.
Yeah, I think there was a new thing that they implemented. I don't remember what it was exactly, but I remember reading it on the wiki. This is the first episode to use some sort of special effect process. I don't think that the Famazi look that great. The sets, some look okay. Some are just like generic metal hallways. My big problem is it could have been funnier, and I wish they had not cut out the jokes. I think if they left the jokes in, it would have been a lot easier to follow. But yeah, there's too much stuff, and it's hard to follow. This is the most confusing serial I've watched. You guys have heard this podcast. I get confused a lot. But this one, I could not follow it for the life of me. Even, like, episodes that I have a hard time following, I generally have, like, a somewhat decent grasp of what the basic plot is. But by the end of this one, I was like, I honestly don't know what the fuck was happening.
And the thing is, talked about it.
Yeah, I understand it now after having, like, wrangled my notes down and used the wiki and made GIFs and, like, read the transcripts. Like, I get it now, but at the time I was like, what the fuck is... And I think it's because they would introduce something, drop it. Like, it's a leisure hive. That's, like, an episode, if at most, and then they drop it. And then they'll bring it back, and you're like, oh, right, I forgot that it was, like, a business. Or, like, here's this thing, drop it. Here's Stimson, drop it. We have collars on, drop it. And it's just like, I can't fucking keep up. It was really hard for me to follow. So I honestly didn't care for this serial very much. Like, it looks great, but, like, I need more substance, I guess. On the one hand, I'm excited about it because it looks great, and I hope they'd, like, solve some of that they even things out a bit more. But this was rough for me. Just because, like, technically it's great, but otherwise it's a mess. I feel like I came down harsher than I meant to. Anything we need to plug before we go?
Same old, please watch The Unseen World. Follow it on all its socials at See Unseen World. I work really hard on it, and we filmed some really cool stuff for it. Season 2 is going to be cool. Take a look at it.
I've got a show that I'm working on that should hopefully be coming out soon. We're supposed to start filming in a couple weeks. House of the Son of the Dragon, so keep an eye out for that.
Listen to our other podcast, Burn, Noticed.
Yeah, if you like hearing us ramble about stuff. I don't even think you have to listen to Burn Noticed.
No.
Just listen to us. In fact, don't listen to Burn Notice.
Don't listen.
Fuck those guys.
Don't listen to Burn Notice. It will make your enjoyment of Burn, Notice more enjoyable. I know, because I don't watch Burn Notice. I only listen to Burn, Notice.
Burn, Notice is a good podcast, but it's not as good as ours. But yeah, that's basically it. I hope Bree didn't listen to this episode. If you liked this episode of The Watchathon of Rassilon, you can check out more on WatchYourRassilon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does iTunes magic.
more comments we get, the more ratings we get, the more iTunes feels like sharing our podcast with other people. And that is important because the more people listen to our podcast, the more powerful I get as a person.
If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support. And there you will find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records where you can watch Tony on her phone, live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys, and every Patreon patron gets access to our Discord server where we chat about cute animals and things. It's very active over there with Ian and Scrub Monkey. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check out his website at matthewgolden.net. I also want to give a special shout out to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
You can check out more of their stuff on Bandcamp. I think it's vincentel.bandcamp.com. Tune in next time when we talk about Meglos. Until then, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Does this key fit in your hole?
God damn it.
His scarf kills Stimson.
Arrest the scarf, then.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.